comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, or starting in chapter 3, and we're actually going to be going on into chapter 4 as well. In my opinion, this is one of those instances where the chapter break did not do us justice, because many of us are tempted to stop right at the end of the chapter, but then we miss what I think is a very important word in the next chapter. So I've reworked the pericope, to use the technical term. Not that that term would mean much to most of you, but I've reworked it a little bit so that we can get a little bit more fuller instruction from the great apostle today. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14, and going through chapter 4, verse 5. Hear now the word of our Lord. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of God for the people of God today.
Thanks be to God.
Well, today we come to the fourth sermon in my kind of unintentional mini-sermon series on different elements of worship. And we come to what, in my opinion, is probably the most important part of worship. When we come together for worship, we do pray, and that is important because we commune with God our Father. We converse with Him in prayer. We come to the table of our Lord. We commune with one another in the presence of God, and that is important. And we sing our praises to the Lord, shouting praise and thanksgiving to Him. But no worship service would be complete, I think, without hearing from the Lord Himself. And it is in the Holy Scriptures that we hear the voice of God most clearly. It is in the Holy Scriptures that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us, and in which He has given us, as an old song that I learned when I was a little kid puts it, basic instructions before leaving earth. The Holy Scriptures are a key and important part of our worship service, and they are never to be neglected. Now, before I get a little bit more into that, I want to talk just a little bit about the Scriptures. Why are the Scriptures so important, aside from the obvious, as I've just said? Scripture is to be the absolute foundation of all true doctrine, all true belief. Scripture is our starting point. And Scripture is the place from which we as Christians are to build our worldview, the way that we view the world, the way that we view truth. Because in Scripture is where we find the absolute truth of our God. created us, the God who loves us, and the God who sent his Son to die on the cross for us. This past week at the conference, the topic of the conference was a culture in crisis. And the general premise of the conference was that as the culture that we live in drifts farther and farther away from a Christian worldview, it becomes easier and easier for the culture of the world outside the church to creep its way into the church. And it is because of this creeping of the outside culture into the church that we in the Western world are seeing such a great decline in the makeup of our congregations. Now, you go to almost any of the mainstream churches in this country, the ones that used to number in the hundreds of thousands, and you'll find a much smaller congregation than you would have found even 20 years ago. And the key emphasis of the conference is that the reason for this decline, the reason for this culture in crisis, is because the world as a whole and in recent years the church has been founding our worldview on the wrong foundation. The worldview that we should be founding our beliefs on is a worldview built upon the foundation of the Word of God. This is our starting point. Now, will you find every single answer to every single question a kindergartner could possibly ask in the scriptures? I say kindergartner because they can ask a lot of questions. Well, you won't find the answer to every single one, but you will find the answer to the most important ones. And you'll have the foundation from which to answer those other questions as well, such as, why does a spider have 8 legs when a bug only has 6? Sounds like a question a kindergartner would ask, doesn't it? All of those answers have their basis in Scripture, but only if you keep Scripture as the foundation for your worldview. However, in much of our culture today, and even in parts of the church, the foundation for our worldview is no longer Scripture. It is no longer God's Word, but rather it has become man's Word. And rather than basing our fundamental beliefs on the Word of God, we have been basing our fundamental beliefs for far too long on the Word of mankind, on human words. And we have allowed this foundation of our own words, our own wisdom, to overrule the truth that we find in Scripture. Scripture is to be our absolute foundation. In Scripture, God reveals not only himself to us, he reveals his will. He reveals his plan for salvation from the beginning of the earth. And I happen to agree with the leaders of the conference this past week that when it comes to rebuilding the church or upholding Christian values, we're not going to do that by simply focusing on the surface level issues. We spend a lot of time talking about those surface level issues, the big hot topics that are in our culture today, the different key issues that single politician and other leader that wants to have a voice has an opinion on. Or maybe they have 10 opinions on it, depending on the person. And we can fight those issues. And we should. But we will not find our sure footing. We will not find our way back to the stronger image of the church that we have in our heads until we get down to what is our worldview based on. What is the foundation of how we view the world? Do we view the world from a secular point of view through the lens of Scripture? Or do we view the world from the foundation of Scripture, allowing it to guide how we think about the world, how we think about our relationships toward each other, how we think about work, how we think about politics? What is our foundation? Well, for all who call upon the name of the Lord, our foundation is meant to be the Word of God. And it's for this reason that it's so important to keep it as a central focus of the church. I'm always mind blown when I hear comments from people, and they make a big deal about pastors who actually preach the Word of God. What do you mean? What else is there to preach? What else would we preach from but the Scriptures themselves? But if you want a good picture of what happens when you forget to keep Scripture as your foundation, all you have to do is look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a perfect picture, a perfect image of what happens when the people of God allow the cultures around them to creep in and allow their foundation to shift from God's word to man's word. If you look back to the book of Judges and then look even further into 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, these books are ones which can give a modern reader a little bit of a headache at times. And I'm not just talking because of all the big long names. We see this repeated cycle of God does something great and everybody praises him and they devote their lives to the Lord. And then a generation goes past and they turn away from the Lord and they sin against him and destruction and chaos comes in and they cry out to the Lord and God does something wonderful for them. And then a generation passes and they forget again. Have you ever wondered how they could be such, have such short memories? Why do they keep falling into this same pattern over and over and over again? Where they would repent and then fall away from the Lord. And repent again and fall away from the Lord. And repent again and then fall away from the Lord. And each time they fell away from the Lord, they drifted further and further away. I can tell you what the reason is. It's because they didn't know the Word of God. I'm amazed in 2 Kings, I believe it's in 2 Kings, when the king Hezekiah comes to the throne. And while he is on the throne, they're doing some renovations around the temple, just kind of keeping up the building, and they find an old closet off to the side, one of the archives. And they pull out this big book and they say, "What is this? I've never seen this before." And they open it up and they start reading it. And you know what it is? It's the Scriptures the law of Moses that had been given to them at Mount Sinai. It had been so long since a single person had read the text that they forgot it even existed. And because of this, they fell. And fell. And fell again. And as you know in the Old Testament, what happens to the people of God? When they continue to rebel against the Lord, what happens? Who's read the Old Testament recently? What happens after they continuously rebel against the Lord? What happens? They get defeated, yes. And this promised land that had been given to them, it gets taken away. And they're carried off into exile. And they live in exile as a punishment for turning away from the Lord. And a few generations go by, and Babylonians get conquered by the Persians. And finally, Cyrus the Great, who is the only pagan king in all of Scripture who is named as an instrument of the Lord, as an instrument of the Lord's will, he finally allows the people to return home. And it is when they return home that we find this passage that the boys read for us today. They return home after generations of exile, after having the promised land ripped from their grasp, after losing their dynasty, losing their freedom. They return home and they said, "We're not going to make the same mistake again. No longer will we allow an entire generation to go by without hearing the word of God." And Ezra and Nehemiah worked together to ensure that the word of the Lord was proclaimed in front of the entire assembly. And they gathered all of the people together, all those that had returned from exile, and they built a platform, and they read the word of God out before the people. And they said, "We will not make the same mistakes as our ancestors. Like Joshua, we will say, 'As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.'" And it is from that point on that worship in the Jewish culture began to change a little bit. The focus of their worship was still going to the temple as often as they could. But something else started happening. In every little village, every little town, they would build a synagogue. And they would have a copy of the Holy Scriptures in the synagogue. And they would come together not just once a year or once every 15 to 20 years. They'd come together every single week. And they would read the Scriptures to the people. They would read their history. They would read God's commandments. And they would teach their children about all that God had done for them and all that He had promised to still do. And by the time we get to the New Testament, if you were born and raised in a faithful Jewish household, you knew the Scriptures. You knew that there was a God who was a creator, who loved us, and who would one day send His Son to die, or send His Son, send the Messiah, to save His people. They didn't quite know about the dying on the cross yet. Jesus helped them figure that part out. And when the early church formed after the death and resurrection of Jesus, They said, we too are going to learn from our ancestors' mistakes. And what we found in the worship of the early church was the worship of the synagogues. They would bring out the Holy Scriptures. They would read the Word of God. And then, with the wisdom that came from Christ and from the Holy Spirit, they would teach the meaning of those scriptures. And it's for this reason that when we get to 2 Timothy, Paul can write to them, can write to him, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. From infancy you have known the scriptures. He knew the Word of God. It's because they were read to him every Saturday. Remember, they worshiped on Saturdays, not Sundays. They were read to him every Saturday. And he learned the truth of God's love from an early age. Brothers and sisters, that is why we come together at least once a week to hear the Word of God read and to receive that which has been passed on to us from generation to generation, through trial, through suffering. We have these words today because of the sacrifice and the dedication of a thousand generations before us, so that we might receive these ancient words which never get old, but in which God breathes new meaning for us every day. The words don't change, but we are able to find new meaning in it every day as we grow in wisdom, as we grow in relationship with God, and as we continue building our worldview upon these holy words. That is why we read the scriptures here on Sunday mornings. That is why we gather at different times throughout the week to study the Word of God. And that is why, hopefully, now that thanks to the printing press, you can all have your own copy, you read the words every day. Because these are not simply a collection of ancient history books, or a collection of ancient mythologies, or a collection of ancient religious texts that show us the cultural point of view of one particular group of people. That's not what these are. This is the holy Word of God, given to us so that we might know him and believe. Brothers and sisters, today, don't be content with the great teachers who tell you whatever it is you want to hear. Rather, hold fast to the truth that is found only here in the Word of God. Keep this as the center and foundation of your life and of the way you view the world. So that when Christ returns, you won't be caught unaware, but that you will be among those who rise to meet him in the sky. For he is coming back. Amen? He is coming back. And what a glorious day that will be if we are still lucky enough to be on this earth when we hear that final trumpet blast of God. We get to go for a little flight before he takes us to be with him for eternity. but stand firmly upon the Word of God.